This will lead right in the follow-up stir real good because of the fact that we probably feel that one of the best things we can do to involve our educators or county agents is a variety test program. What do I need to do? And I think many of the farmers would consider the variety test program probably one of our best extension activities and so forth. And so we tried to really improve that variety test program. You know, methods that we use to plant these and so forth, we plant areas and so forth. We've had farmers do that so we can follow their rows. We flag the area, mark the area, physical markers. We probably tried everything else in the book, tried to do this. We plant a lot of wheat variety plots and so forth. I think this one had 43 varieties replicated 6 times. And so it's, you know, a fairly sized plot. But it does provide our farmers some really good information to make decisions on. And then we do a lot of, you know, hybrid testing on corn. This happens to be dry land, the skip row system. And this gets kind of involved. Here's our diagram to plant this. And, you know, we've got plant two, skip one, plant two, skip two, solid. We got plant one, skip one, and then we also have different plant populations. So it gets pretty involved in this, and it's a lot easier to do a GPS RTK. And this just shows you. Now, one of the things we want to mention here, too, is this is what commonly we had when we went in and followed a farmer blank planting and so forth, that we'd have these and they move a lot of soil. I don't like to do that. It dries out the soil and so forth. In many cases, you had a crack here, and we'd come in maybe the next day, the soil would be dried out. It affects stands. Some cases, they move a lot of the residue, and and I like to conserve all the residue that we can. We'll show you another thing on this a little bit later. So one of the things, of course, we've done is a lot of mark it out with flags, and this didn't work too bad where we had conventional tillage. But when you start doing no-till work, and have a lot of problems in one of these situations. What happens here is you get caught in the corn stalks. Now, we either get caught here or we have high winds, and so if you try to pull it up over the 300-foot tape, the wind catches it. So between the two, and so you're really having a problem. You can bust a lot of tapes up this way. We flag a lot of fields and so forth, or used to. We don't anymore. And, you know, it's hard to see some of this. Here's like a little green flag. We never did find anything as good as a fluorescent pink. We can see those, but we never found a good corresponding color. And we have like 2 green ones and 2 pink ones and so forth, so you can keep it straight. And it wasn't too bad, but it wasn't the situation. You're trying to look, and you know, you got a row of flags in the center there. Usually we went in and put an extra row of flags, and you can see there is in there. You can see the pink ones, but it's pretty hard to see the green ones. Pretty difficult to drive those exactly too. You know, this gal did a pretty good job here. It was one of our students and so forth, but still a little bit off. We use lime some of the times, and this would, when we changed, we'd stop at each one of these and kind of guess at where there was. Then this is a physical marker that the farmer used, and I don't like to have him. And every 6 rows, he had the best crop of foxtail. That was planted by that marker, you know, in no-till. And just made a difference. And I don't like those weeds in my plots too well. So, and then we're also now trying to do things under our center pivots so we can put different amounts of water on. So we're not only, we're trying to drive on curves now. Well, this is pretty easy with GPS RTK, but it's pretty hard to do with any other system and so forth. So we can take it to that next step. And we're doing drought variety trials and so forth, and I haven't hit the wrong side there. So this is what we're doing. We're using the AutoFarm system. It has twin receivers on it, and we have our own GPS RTK station here, and this is what it looks like close up. and we just power it with the battery in the field. And this is what it looks like on the rig. This happens to be planting wheat here. And just a close-up view, another one it is, and this is one of our operators in the screen here. The Auto Farm, they use a lot of this to cut sod and so with, and these are probably durable enough that you can leave them out in the field and don't have to take them off. They're pretty durable ones and so forth. This is my technician, Jeff. John talked about in the introduction, and he's given some instructions to the tractor driver, you know, which ones to come down on, which plots to plant and so forth. And going through the field, and of course you can see she hadn't got any hands on the steering wheel, and just going right through it really makes it easy. Makes it a lot easier to combine too, because they're all got the same width all the way through, you know, the 10 inches or whatever it is. And it's not moving in the six in some places or worse than that. So it makes it a lot easier to do. Things such as the skip row, a lot easier to do under this system. And make some changes there. This happens to show you one of the skip row plots and so forth. And we use these for demonstrations. And then we also, the educator will set up plot meetings for us out there. And so we can take these people through. And this is one at Trenton. We don't have as much residue as I'd like to have in this particular situation. But it really was dramatic when we took our people, you know, on some of the plot tours and so forth. And here was the 20,000 in a plant to skip zero solid plant. And you can look at, you know, the size ear there. And then you get over here like a plant to skip to, you got much better ears, even at that high plant population and so forth. And so that really shows up the difference of the skip row system that we can use. And then this was some of our yields, which we can show to the people. We usually have last year's data and so forth. These was the solid planting and so forth. And we, of course, we have different hybrids out there that we do this with. Thing won't. And you can see on the solid there, we've got 57, 57, and 44 bushel yields. And then we also have 53 average in that particular situation. We're going to back it up here. We would recommend for those yields less than 100, we'd be recommending the plant to skip to system. And this is at the 10,000 plant because we're just planting half the number of rows. We're planting all 20,000 or the 10,000 two rows, so it's 20,000. That's where that plant population comes from. We have 67 versus 57, 73 versus 57. And then you remember those much bigger ears that we had in the plant to skip to at the 20,000 or 40,000 if you're planting 44 versus 84. It seems to be one of the big advantages of the skip row system is that if you plant too high plant population, get dry weather, it doesn't hurt you so bad. So they really like that. And then this is over at the water lab that we bought two sections and so forth, and we're starting to do a lot of work. This happens to be the irrigated grass part. First year we planted oats, and then we came in and planted some irrigated grass. We're doing a lot of work on irrigation there, drought-tolerant hybrids, and then we're planting all those on the curve so we can put different amounts of water on. So in between each tower, we can even put different amounts of water, or we can even control it in between the towers too, and we'll just get the new center pivot so we can control all that automatically, which really makes it a lot easier and so forth. And this just shows you the corn there, some of the plots and so forth that we have. And this is where we're getting into, and what we're trying to do here is at the new water lab, which we'll have maybe set up where we apply 4 inches of irrigation water, 8 inches of irrigation water, and 12 inches, which we consider probably about fully irrigated in our area, if you have no-till. That's not fully irrigated if you don't. Fully irrigated with conventional would probably be at least 18. But we're going to do most of this with no-till systems, and then we'll have different crops in here, and we can do this all, you know, planting it in a circle and so forth like this. And my intention is, and we haven't been able to do this yet, is to plant Roundup Ready alfalfa here, Roundup Ready alfalfa in these strips here, and so we can access all those plots really conveniently. But I've got to wait until that judge releases the Roundup Ready alfalfa before we can do that. And I hope that's not too distant future, because I don't want to go to all the expense of putting grass out there and then, you know, kill it out and then plant the alfalfa and so forth. But we really intend to use this, and by the GPS RTK system, we can do this. One of the things is we did have to start this in here. This particular one and another one had been in sugar beets. And in the sugar beets, if it gets wet in the fall, you know, the sugar beets are pretty valuable. What they do is they go in and pull semis through the field with four big four-wheel drive tractors, and we had severe compaction in there. In fact, we commercially hired the John Deere dealer there in the Ogallala area to pull an 8-shank ripper through there, 500 horsepower tractor, and the best it could do was about 4 mile an hour. We thought it should be able to go 6, but it was that compacted. And then what we did, we had them do this on GPS RTK, those rip marks, and then we went and actually planted in those same rip marks so we wouldn't have to rip the whole thing. And that seems to really work. So we're doing a lot of these things, not only in planting, but also trying to do some ripping and take care of those kind of advantages and so forth. Okay, and I think with that, any questions? Do we have time for a question or two? Yes. Yeah, yeah. We do all those completely with the RTK system, and really works nice, yeah. And we'll set these all up in the office ahead of time, load the program in the computer, and then like Jeff was giving instructions to the tractor driver, you know, he'll tell this person that you go maybe on all the even-numbered passes when you're planting here, and then we'll come back. And so everything, all the seed is sorted that same way. So everything's done prior to the field. We'll give the instructions to the person sorting the seed. Everything is in the boxes that way. So it really works neat. It saves us a lot of time. And this year, where we had a lot of rain out there, which we aren't accustomed to during planting, it really helped us save a lot of time.
What could, does a system like that cost?
To set it up on a tractor, and these tractors were not equipped with it, it costs us, the first tractor costs us $30,000 basically. And then to add it on to another tractor, our second tractor, about $10,000, and then we move all the other equipment over.
Is that what it costs on a plant or two?
That takes care of everything we need, yeah. And then we also put a tripping system on the, and that costs us another $8,000, yeah, which we use on both systems. So we have roughly, between it on two tractors, to guidance and trip, pretty close to 50,000. Yeah, good question.
Do you have a varied population as well?
Yeah, yeah, we can do everything that we want to, yeah. And so we're pretty high tech on that. And yes, Sean? We set it up afterwards, yeah. Yeah, when we bought the Precision 2 planter, that the El Mako, it's a Kincaid drill, neither one of them came. We just added that probably about 3 years ago, but the tripping system is just a 2009 installation with Harrison Technologies that we worked with. I think I used all my time. I better get all ready. Thank you.